Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for the day's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise, and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, of great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then his spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him, and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So far, our sermon text. In Christ Jesus, our ever-living Savior, whom we proclaim to a spiritually dead world, dear fellow redeemed. This past week, one of the headlines in the Wisconsin State Journal read this way: "Americans anxious, lonely, depression sets in as normal way of life seems like it's long gone." Part of the article read, "Roughly two-thirds of Americans say they felt nervous, depressed, lonely, or hopeless in at least one of the past 7 days. Emotional distress was more common, surprisingly, among younger adults, with 81% under 30 and 70% 34 to 45-year-olds feeling distress. Well, they found 48% of those 60 and over felt the same way. Changes are hard. Unexpected changes are even harder. Imposed changes are the hardest. Well, 100% of the disciples felt lonely, anxious, depressed, and a multitude of other sad emotions when Jesus died on the cross. Their normal way of life was long gone. Their Lord and Savior was lying there dead in the tomb. But then the resurrection came, and that change brought joy and excitement back into the hearts of the disciples. We heard last Sunday that when the disciples were charged by the Jewish leaders, in fact, demanded by them not to speak in the name of this Jesus or his resurrection anymore, What'd they do? They went home and prayed. Prayed for more boldness, more confidence, to be able to speak and teach this word of God according to his will with great joy. For Christ and his resurrection was in their hearts, motivating, compelling them to live in loving obedience to the Lord and to accomplish his will in selfless service to him, to the glory of his name. The Apostle Paul also knew how important the resurrection was. In one of his letters, he said, "My whole life I count it as rubbish, dung, if I do not know Christ and the power of his resurrection." And so from our text this evening, we have our theme, the Easter resurrection message marches on. From last Sunday's text to today's, we see the Lord answers the prayer of his believers. They are filled with the Spirit, and they go out and boldly proclaim the risen Christ throughout all of Jerusalem. Peter's arrested, he's put into prison, and in the middle of the night, an angel comes and miraculously sets him free. So many people are flocking to Christ, the disciples find their work becomes too burdensome for them, too heavy for them, and so they call seven men who will help them out. Seven deacons who will help them, especially in the feeding of the poor, the widows and the orphans. One of those deacons was a man named Stephen. We're told he was filled with power and the Spirit, spoke bravely about Christ. Well, he was accused of blasphemy. They dragged him out of the city. They stoned him to death. But that was not his defeat. That was a triumph. He proclaimed his victory. As he's being stoned, he said these words, "Look, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." And as he's dying, he cries out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Well, another one of those deacons was a man named Philip, also filled with the Spirit. He was called to go and preach the word of God in Samaria. In fact, we read this about that is going to Samaria. "Multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." In fact, there was so much work going on in Samaria, he called back to Jerusalem, and Peter and John came to help him and preach in Samaria too, and we're told they preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. What a marvelous demonstration of God's control over history and over the church. Satan attempted to squash, obliterate Christianity and Christians to persecution, through the martyrdom of Stephen. But all that it did was serve by God's power and grace to spread the word even more. They did just as Jesus commanded. They preached the gospel. We're told, "Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." Jesus not only commanded them, he foretold that this would happen. They spread from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria, and today we know the othermost parts of the world. So now as we read our text, I kind of wonder, with all of this mission work going on, all of this activity in Samaria, it seems rather pointless, humanly speaking, to take Philip away from all this activity. But that's exactly what the Lord did. With all this mission work, the Lord took the missionary away. In what more unlikely spot can you think of or imagine the word of God being proclaimed in an uninhabited, lonely, desert road out in the middle of nowhere? In our lesson, we indeed see the love our Savior has for every single one individual sinner. Philip was called away from mission work involving many, many souls to go and rescue one soul in the desert. The first point of our theme is that the Easter resurrection message is proclaimed by called Christians. Philip was called by God to proclaim the word in Samaria. Then an angel comes to him and says, the Lord wants you to go south from Jerusalem to the Gaza on the desert road. Go. So when Philip goes, he finds himself on the road, and then now the Spirit comes to him and says, see that chariot up there? Catch up to it. So he runs up to it, and he must have been pretty surprised, maybe even shocked, when he looks in the chariot and he sees an Ethiopian, not a Jew, a foreigner. What's Philip going to do? He can say, oh, excuse me, I got the wrong chariot. Excuse me, I was looking for someone else. Did you just say, I'm sorry, and go and leave? Did he chit-chat idly about the weather and how his trip is going on? He shows how important this man is to him. He asks him what he's reading. And through this, then, our text, we see that there's at least three questions that the Ethiopian asks Philip that Philip then answers for him. The first question is, when Philip asks him, do you understand what you are reading? And he says, how can I, unless someone guides me? What was he reading? He was reading Isaiah 53. He was in Jerusalem worshiping, so we believe that this man was a proselyte, a Gentile who had been brought to faith in Judaism. He knew about the Messiah, but he didn't know who the Messiah was. He was probably reading not the Hebrew, but probably the Greek translation called the Septuagint. And as he's reading this, he's kind of confused. Of whom is Isaiah speaking? Then Philip began, at that very point, we're told, began to preach Jesus to him. Who was that suffering, silent lamb of Isaiah 53? No doubt, Philip told them that Isaiah wrote 750 years before their time. And what he wrote about was a prophecy concerning the Messiah, the suffering servant, the one who's going to come and suffer all this mistreatment from the hands of his enemies. Isaiah clearly shows his humility, his patience, his willingness to suffer, even die, without complaint, in perfect obedience as man's substitute. We read again the words, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Philip is saying, yes, Isaiah is speaking about someone else other than himself. He's speaking about the only someone else that's a savior, the only savior of mankind, Jesus, who is the Christ, the Messiah. Now, Philip couldn't just reach in his pocket and pull out a New Testament. It hadn't been written yet. And so he preached Jesus to him. To the searching question of this troubled sinner out in the desert, Philip proclaimed the message of peace, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And Philip had a ready-made text with Isaiah 53, the gospel so beautifully laid out before him. And he took advantage of speaking in detail. So, we're just given a brief glimpse at what he told. He preached Jesus to them, to him. What does that mean? More than likely, Peter began by saying, the Holy Spirit came upon a woman named Mary, and there was a miraculous conception and a virgin birth. For this baby was both God and man in one person. They named him Jesus. Probably told him about his baptism, about his perfect life of obedience, that he is God and man because he performed miracles, how he suffered, crucified, died, rose from the dead, then commissioned all of his disciples to go into the world and proclaim forgiveness of sins in his name, how he ascended to heaven, and how he promised that he would return again. All that and more is included in that little phrase, he preached Jesus to him. And that leads us to the third and final question that this Ethiopian had for Philip. As they were passing along, they passed a body of water, probably a stream or a river. And the Ethiopian said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" This question was not out of idle curiosity, but the result of the Holy Spirit's work in this man's heart to the gospel. This man requested baptism because from now what he had learned from Philip, what the Holy Spirit had worked in his heart, he desired to receive baptism as a seal of his faith and as the assurance of the forgiveness of his sins that Jesus had earned for him by his death and resurrection. So with faith in his heart, he made a confession with his lips, "I believe in Jesus the Christ, the Son of God." And after his baptism, we're told the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. This man was a treasurer. Treasurer of the queen, Queen Candace. More than likely, he was quite wealthy. But he returned to Ethiopia far richer spiritually. The confused, bewildered, troubled sinner now was at perfect peace and contentment because the power of Christ and his resurrection lived in his heart. And what about Philip? The man with the message, we're told he was moved by the Holy Spirit to Azotus, many miles away. Suddenly just disappeared, found himself in Azotus, and continued to preach the word of God to people. Imagine how Philip must have thought, "Wow, I go here, this man has brought the faith in Jesus, and suddenly I'm back here." Well, there's a couple applications we're going to lay on our hearts as we close the sermon. And that is the first, what great love Jesus has for every single individual sinner. All this activity in Samaria, and God says, "No, I want you to go down here into this desert and find this one man and bring him the gospel." And then he becomes a missionary to Ethiopia. But isn't that what the Lord did for you and me? Every single one of us. We're all found in the right place at the right time to hear the word of God so that we too make a confession that Jesus is the Christ, my Savior, the Son of God. For most of us, we are brought to know Jesus by loving Christian parents. Our second point is that the Lord directed the Ethiopian, Philip, to go to the Ethiopian. First, he's here in Samaria, and the Lord directs him to Gaza in the desert. The Easter resurrection message that marches on is directed by Jesus. He controls where it goes. He controls where we are and found. And just like Philip was led to the desert, God gives us today a most blessed opportunity. Because we now know there are many people today feeling nervous, depressed, lonely, hopeless. What was those reports? 81% under 30, 70, 35 to 44 year olds, even 48, 60 year olds, feeling all these emotions. When life was good, back 3 months ago, when things were fine, how many people thought about death, eternity, suffering, sorrow, lives being changed, lives being turned upside down? Now everybody thinks about this day after day after day. What a beautiful opportunity for us to reveal the crucified and risen Savior to hurting souls who are so stressed because of this pandemic. And when we realize that these souls who desperately need this gospel message are all around us, surrounding us, and we've got the message that can give them peace and hope in a future, how can we not speak the word of Jesus to them? The final application is, we can not doubt that this Ethiopian who went on his way rejoicing, went home, did not also then talk to his friends, his family, maybe even the queen, about Jesus, so that they too would have their hearts filled with the power of Christ and his resurrection. May we also leave our Father's house, and those of you watching this, leave your homes after this worship service with the same joy as the Ethiopian. For we too were lost, and the Lord God found us, reached out to us, an individual sinner, and brought us to faith in him, and worked this blessed miracle of conversion so that we live in Christ and his resurrection. As long as there are dying souls on this earth, we too, like Philip, have been called to proclaim the only message that saves, Jesus crucified and risen again for all of lost mankind. The Easter resurrection message marches on. And we have the ability, we have the power to proclaim that too. Because the power of Christ's resurrection is in our lives. Amen. The peace of God, which passes understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.